Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. She's Allie. That's Squid Billy. That's Dylan. Allie was the one who threw Miley Cyrus in there as number one on her top five Tuesday list.
Terrible.
Of songs that she will play at her cookout this weekend for the 4th of July. Her
cookout is definitely for.
Miley Cyrus is a vegan, isn't she?
I think she is.
Okay, now it's making my. Now I'm putting two and two
together.
Well,
you got to consider the demographics coming to my house this weekend. We've got like, I think four all the way up to 77.
You know, and I do, and I'm not trying to continue to point this out.
Four to 77.
I think I obviously probably wouldn't have been able to make it with the two kids I have, but she keeps talking about how many people are coming to her house.
17.
I know.
17.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird to think that none of the three of us are included.
It kind of feels like she's chalking her hands
it is.
Up.
She's like, oh my God, Grant brought so much food to be able to cook this weekend. Oh my God, like there's so many people coming. I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
it really
so
she
many
is
people.
She is hammering this home, isn't she?
Yeah. Related.
I have an answer if you want to know about Miley Cyrus's eating habits.
Yeah.
She is not currently a vegan. Okay. She was a vocal advocate for veganism. She was a vocal advocate for veganism for several years, but in 2020, she did reveal that she had reintroduced fish into her diet.
Oh, she's a little pescatarian.
She's a pescatarian.
She is a person that dabbles from here to there on multiple things in her life. Hey, if you want to play Sports Radio 99 The Game at your cookout on 4th of July, you can get on your smart device. Just ask the smart device to play 92.9 The Game. Listening to The Game just got a lot easier. It's all powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
Yeah, and just a reminder, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. The phone lines are wide open for wake-up call. Want to hear your Hawks reaction or possibly even at this point talk about Allie's bad top five list. 404-726-0929. Hey, Dylan, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Ja out in Cobb County. Ja, I hope the vibes are high, my friend.
Good morning.
What's up,
I like everything the Hawks are doing. Definitely think next year will be a good contender in the East. And you never know with that pick, we might even be, you know, more than that if that pick turned to a top five pick.
Yeah.
And it's looking good for all our Atlanta teams next year, hopefully. So
yeah. Ooh.
That's all
good
I got to say.
Man. Good point. It does feel like and look, I think the conversation around the Braves is different at this point, but you do kind of look at the future, at least when you know, contract situation and your superstars at all three teams. And, you know, you feel like you found your quarterback. Ronald Acuña obviously going to be an MVP candidate as long as he stays healthy. And then you look at what the Hawks are. And I don't know what the long-term future is for Trey. I think we're going to find out this year. But I think that's a conversation worth having, nonetheless, to Josh's point. So, yeah, the vibes are high.
This does feel a lot like when the Falcons finally were out of cap hell and got to spend – and you brought in guys like, you know, you brought in some guys and you just hope maybe Nikhil Alexander-Walker can be like a Jesse Bates type impact player.
Yeah.
He feels like the big catch. Again, I was watching the NBA coverage on ESPN last night because I don't think I have NBA TV. And if I do, I can't find it. And my other TV is always on ESPN. My side TV is always on sports. There's no Braves game last night. So I'm watching ESPN and I go, I mute Top Gun Maverick, which is on the TV, and I play this. I'm like, I want to see what they're saying. Udonis Haslam is talking about it, and he's really good. That's the first time I really remember seeing him and hearing him talk a lot. But he was like, "You've given Trey all the things he needs. You think he is a superstar? It's now time, and it's time for him to be on and off the court." I saw stuff off the court last year for the first time. He felt like it was his team. It's one of the reasons why I'm hesitant to go trade everything for Giannis. Not that I wouldn't want Giannis here, don't get me wrong. But you finally put enough around Trey where we can see what he can do, right? And that's why you've got Porzingis already here. But he went on and was like, Udonis Haslam is sitting here saying you've given him a winning formula with what is around him, the ingredients. It's time to go win. I wholeheartedly believe they're a top four team in the East, but and especially based on what the Celtics have torn apart with injuries and with cap moves, and with Indiana who they lost, and the Knicks decided to just go blow up our coaching staff and maybe bring in a guy who's only maybe he's like fourth team. Yeah, yeah. I think Quinn Snyder's a good enough coach to get the most out of this roster too.
Yeah, you can probably poke holes in all the other contenders in the East as well. So it's interesting to keep track of for sure. Let's go back out to the phone lines, Dylan. Let's talk to everybody. Skip out in Atlanta. Skip, it's been a while, my friend. What's going on with you?
Hey, man. Good morning, morning crew. Papa Squid, good morning.
Sir?
Mike Mafia, you know we down. You know we down, Mike Mafia.
You know the deal, Skip. I love it.
Lieutenant Amy.
I love it.
Okay, right quick on the house. I'm disappointed. I'm gonna tell you why I'm disappointed, because with the Braves, I broke up with Hope. I divorced Hope. Now the Hawks come along. Now I got to bring Hope back and marry her again. God, doggy Hawks. Now I got to have Hope with the Hawks again. now, right quick. I love it. But I'm going to tell you, Hawks fans, I know some of the guys on the radio show said the same thing. I don't care what the other team's injuries and all that, even if those teams were at full strength, the team we're putting together now, I think the Hawks still could have made a run, with even those teams at full strength. So I'm going to stand behind the Hawks, okay?
There you go.
And one more thing, Mike Mafia.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you a question, Mike.
All right.
If two vegans are arguing, is that called beefing? I'll talk to y'all later, man.
No, this man just didn't, dog. No, this man just did not.
He's like, I'm going to call in and drop a few points, and I'm going to tell a vegan joke.
Skip, man. Skip's a member of the Mafia. Shout out to Skip. Appreciate the phone call, man. That's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Mike
Skip.
Mafia.
Yeah, this comedy, man. He's a comedian. Always hit me up with his comedy shows, so I need to hit one of those one of these days. Let's go back to the phone line real quick, Dylan. Let's get a head out to Derek out in Cobb County. Derek, what's going on, man? Hope the vibes are high.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning? I listen to you every morning. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, sir.
I appreciate you when I'm driving around. I just had to call Allie out.
Oh, yes.
You missed one. American Pie, and everybody sings along to that. Wow. Come on.
No, that is a good one. That is a really, really good one.
Dude, that's such a good point, Derek.
It is 7 minutes long, though.
The other one seems like it's 50 minutes long listening to it.
I
appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. Appreciate you listening, man, as always, living the dream. You are known for selecting songs people sing along to.
Yes.
It's kind of your thing.
Yes.
So it does feel like, it does feel like that you missed an opportunity there.
That's true.
Yeah.
I did miss an opportunity with that, but I'm also not going to play a 7-minute song. That's the radio in me. It's not Free happening. Bird.
So you went and played Free Bird, which should have been on there.
And obviously all those songs kind of tie in. They either say USA or America or American. Like I always think of in my list, it's always, is it All Summer Long by Kid Rock?
That song won't die.
And it's always a boat song or a 4th of July song, cookout song, whatever.
That is a skip. I skip that song every time.
Really?
unless it's one of those occasions where or if I hear it on the playlist, I'm okay with it and I'll end up singing along, and then I'm like, but I won't listen to it in my truck. Like, if it comes on serious, I'm like, skip.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
That's one of those songs by yourself, never going to happen. At a party, absolutely. I do want to mention on Twitter, I did post the videos of Dylan as Phil the Bucket and Hammer and Hank.
Yes.
And Armadillo Dave said, these are so much funnier when you know who is in the suit for some reason.
And I'm telling you, just based off the stride alone in those suits, you ain't beating the freeze.
I mean,
no way.
Y'all are criminally underestimating.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
I'm going to start calling you Twinkle Toes Matthews.
Do y'all understand how hard it is to run in the bucket costume is the easiest to wear, but it's still difficult. And then the it's almost impossible. I don't see how anybody wins in the Hammer and Hank one. It's so top heavy that if you lean over too much, you're falling.
Well, they know what they're doing, but what does that have to do with you not beating the freeze? Because you're not like even,
because I'm not going to be in a bucket or a hammer suit.
That doesn't matter. That
it does.
Maybe if you put the freeze in a hammer suit, you'd win.
So there's a new phrase out there, Bo, that Mel Robbins is getting famous for. It's let them. He says he can beat the freeze. Let him try.
Yeah, I like
don't
that.
Don't tell him
I
no.
I like where she's going with
let
that.
Let him.
Let the vibes be high.
She's like a personal coach. Like, you know, one of those life coaches that gets a lot of money by telling you can do anything you want.
Well, Tony's cousin, Mel.
Exactly. Yeah.
My life coach, Day-Day, who produces Dukes and Bell, just texts me and goes, ain't no way in hell that Dylon is beating the freeze. And I consider him the voice
you got
of reason.
Day-Day coming for you?
Guess what?
Man.
Anybody wants to put some juice boxes on it, Come on. We'll make it happen. We'll put some juice boxes
on. I'm already back in life.
I'm in.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get to one more phone call real quick before we get to the end of the wake-up call. Let's go out to Anthony out in Covington. Anthony, what's going on, my friend? Hope you're having a good morning.
Yeah. Let's go, man. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Vibes are hot, man. I think this is a team that I think finally has a fan base. Like, we look at these moves, man, and be like, holy crap, that makes sense. We're actually building something that we can be proud of on the court, man. I say, Alexander Walker, great 3-and-D player coming off the bench, and then everybody's talking about him, but Luke Kennard, man, a career 45% three-point shooter, sharpshooter coming off the bench as well, man. I think this is something we could be super proud of. There's no reason in the world that we should not be contending in the East next year. And before we go, I say we talked about it yesterday, right, with bar names. So when I was young, me and my wife, we always talked about it. If we ever opened up a bar, so I was in the Navy for 10 years, right? So my bar name is going to be Loose Lips. And you're going to be confused because you don't know if it's a strip club or a bar, but you're coming in.
Oh, huge pause. Huge pause. Cut this man off. Cut the mic, Anthony. Cut the mic. Oh my gosh, man! Yeah. All right, that got sideways real quick.
He's just under 44% 3-point shooter for his career. Which, yeah. But he's one of those guys that you're gonna go once every few weeks and you'll look up and he's gonna have like 18 points because he's hit 5 threes or something.
Well, and I love that Anthony was on hold for a couple minutes and he waited that whole time to be able to do that Hawk sound effect. He was like, "I'm ready."
He perfected it.
Not only that, he went back to yesterday's topic for the.
Oh, Anthony, you get a gold star. Great
Thank
call
you,
for
my
the
friend.
Wake-up call today. Coming up, Caleb Johnson. We have secured him. He is 92.9's very own Hawks insider. He's going to jump on with us and talk about all these trades, the future of the Hawks. So Caleb is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Mike. She's Allie. She plays Miley Cyrus on her cookout playlist. 100%. His name is Bo, and that's Dylan, who thinks he can beat the freeze.
I know.
Okay. Well, the confidence level just at another level right now in terms of this group. Man, you guys are just feeling good. We are feeling good as well after the Hawks and free agency last night make a couple of different splashes. And to talk about that, we'll bring in my cousin, Caleb Johnson, 92.9 The Game Hawks insider. I'm kidding. He's not my cousin. I just always get jealous of Allie when Grant comes on. She's like, yeah. He lets my dogs out to pee in the morning.
This is true.
But he is a friend of mine, and he is Caleb Johnson. He's on the phone with us right now. And Caleb, first of all, let's start with this. Is Miley Cyrus going to be on the 4th of July playlist in the Caleb Johnson household, or are you going another direction?
Party in the USA. I mean, I guess maybe by accident, but I'll actually be working Friday night. So I'm just going to steer away from Miley in general, unless one of my producers decides to play it. But Mike, you mentioned their cousin, maybe nephew, because I do actually have an uncle whose name's Mike Johnson. So.
I feel like every Johnson has an uncle whose name's Mike. It's just one of those names, man. Look, let's talk a little bit about the Hawks, and obviously we'll dive right into it. I never thought, Caleb, that we'd be just this far removed from the. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about breaking down where the Hawks draft pick was going to land that you're going to get from the Sacramento Kings. Turns out, wasn't even necessary to talk about for this coming season because you trade back, you get Asa Newell, and he's not even a topic of conversation, it feels like, coming off yesterday's free agency.
Yeah, I think – but that's a good thing because he ended up – he's a 23rd overall pick, and I think Asa is going to be great. And he's got a lot of development to have, quite honestly. And instead of us focusing on, what kind of development are you going to see from Asa in year one – you now are seeing a roster that Ansi Salah has put together that you're like, okay, yeah, let Asa go down to College Park, quite honestly, and have a Jalen Johnson season or a Mo Gay season where you send him down and hopefully he develops and maybe he comes back up and spends some time with the roster. But when you are putting together a team that has national pundits all over the country going, whoa, let's look out for the Hawks. Honestly, it makes me a little uncomfortable because I'm so used to
you're like,
I'm
what
so
is this feeling?
I'm so used to talking about a Hawks team that people are like, well, I mean, are they even going to make the play-in? And I'm convincing people of like, no, I think they're better than a lot of people have expect, because that's been the last couple of seasons. Or you talk about expectations of when they traded for DeJounte Murray, and you could just see that it really wasn't fitting, but the expectations were there because they gave up so much to get DeJounte. And so people were essentially trying to, you know, fit the square peg in a round hole and be like, well, this team is going to be top five in the East, right? No, I think you come into this season now where you've been able to smartly add talent, whether it's Nickeil Alexander-Walker or whether it's getting a really, really savvy, I think, one-year deal from Luke Kennard, where you're adding pieces that actually fit your team. Because what does Nickeil Alexander-Walker do really well? He is a really strong point-of-attack defender. So you can play you don't have to have Dyson Daniels be that guy all of the time. I think, you know, you have the ability from Nickeil also to shoot threes. What does this team need outside of Trae Young? Shooters. So the fact you add Nickeil, who is a shooter, and then you add Luke Kennard, who is the leader in three-point shooting over the last five seasons. He shoots like 45%, the highest of any NBA player in the last five seasons, and that comes with him shooting, I think it's close to 10 shots per 100 possessions, which I know gets a little bit nerdy, but like that's a lot of shots this dude is putting up. And you didn't necessarily lock yourself into him super long term. It's kind of the same deal with Kristaps Porzingis. Like you go and get a guy like Kristaps Porzingis, who is a risk because of the injury stuff. And we're going to talk about the injury stuff all season long because it's been an issue for him in the past. But I think the way that Ansi Salah has put together this roster just seems like it's been really intelligent. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we haven't seen this level of excitement and intelligence building a roster in this city since, I believe, 2020, because that's when you went and you got Bogey Bogdanovich, you got Danilo Gallinari, and you got Clint Capella, who is, of course, now sent out the door and headed back to Houston.
So it's the morning shift talking with 92.9 The Game's Hawks insider Caleb Johnson. Caleb, Mike and Bo were breaking this down earlier. I want to get your opinion on it. With these moves that Ansi Salah has been making, where do you rank the Hawks now in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, that's going to be the toughest thing to do because it's a matter of where they can be versus where they actually will be. Because as much as the East is up for grabs, and that's certainly the case, because when you think about Tyrese Halliburton getting injured and the Pacers potentially taking a step back, when you look at the Boston Celtics potentially taking a step back because they traded a lot of their pieces and Jason Tatum is injured, I think Cleveland, and it's also like this is a matter of regular season, kind of where teams are going to fare, and I don't know that the Hawks have always necessarily handled the regular season. They seem to lose focus at different points of the year. But Cleveland is still going to be up there, I believe. I think Detroit, I mean, that's where Caris LeVert, you know, former Hawks player who was traded in that DeJounte Murray deal, he's headed up to Detroit as well. They're putting together a really solid roster. I think the Knicks are still going to be a really talented team. I'm confused as to where Milwaukee is going to land amongst all of this because no Damian Lillard, but Giannis Antetokounmpo, still a really talented player, and he's not going anywhere. So to say top five, I think is realistic. I think it's a very much an attainable goal. But if you told me, you know, at the end of the regular season next year, if we're heading into the postseason and the Hawks are third in the East, like that, I think is honestly what this team is kind of working towards, because I don't think they'll be that quick and that perfect to go from ninth in the East last year and being a play-in team to just winning the East. But I certainly think like this roster is talented enough. It's just a matter of can Jalen stay healthy? Can Kristaps stay healthy? And can all of these pieces actually work alongside Trae Young and these guys who are great shooters actually continue on their success level with the Atlanta Hawks.
9-10 the game, Atlanta Hawks insider Caleb Johnson joining us here on the morning shift. All right, well, you talked about it. They're talented, Caleb. They got a deeper bench than I think we've seen in a while. What does the starting lineup and rotations look like? Because they have some interchangeable parts now.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. Of course, you're going to have Trae Young. I think Dyson Daniels is kind of a lock to be in there. And then it's a matter of, do you want to send Reza Shea to the bench? Or do you want to start him? Do you have Nikhil Alexander-Walker, I would assume, in that starting lineup? And then Jalen Johnson, and I believe Onyeka Okongwu. A lot of people might disagree with me and be surprised that, okay, well, you went and got, you know, the unicorn in Kristaps Porzingis and brought him here, and he's got this big salary, so surely you're going to start him. Well, I think he had some of his best run as a starter up in Washington, but I think most recently when we saw him with the Boston Celtics and what he brought to them eventually winning a championship, it was him coming off the bench. And I think the injuries that we've kind of seen from him the latest, it's one of those, I think, because you can control minutes. Like if you remember how DeAndre Hunter was treated, where he was so injury prone, but then he came off the bench and he actually performed really well. So I think that is probably how the Hawks would handle that type of situation. And then getting to go to your bench, where I don't think Luke Kennard is traditionally that point guard kind of role, but he is a ball handler. And so I think you'll be able to bring him off the bench. You'll be able to give Vic Krejci some run off the bench, potentially as a ball handler as well. It gives you the opportunity right now to decide if Kobe Bufkin actually fits with this roster now, or if you want to trade him and package him for something, maybe some draft capital in the future. But you could certainly keep him around because he's on a pretty cheap contract. And then also coming off the bench in that four position is going to be Mo Gay. And so you mentioned it there, Bo, like depth is certainly something that this Hawks team hasn't had in the past, especially because injuries pop up and you've got Mo Gay starting a bunch of games, and you had you had other guys kind of filling those voids in the past that really were playing above what they should have been doing. And so now you can look and maybe you bring back, because you essentially the Hawks right now have about $7 million before they get into the luxury tax. And so you could bring in a Larry Nance Jr. as some more depth at your center position, or you could potentially go out and find someone else. I think you still have some room to add a guard. So maybe you look at the Clippers, who have a guy like Amir Coffey, and decide that that's someone you want to bring in. But you've got three roster spots to fill. You have to fill two of those roster spots, and you have some wiggle room, about $7 million, in order to do all of that and make this bench even deeper.
Yeah, that's Caleb Johnson, 19-9 game Hawks insider, man. That's good stuff. We appreciate it, buddy. We're all stoked. The vibes are high.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a good one.
All right, thanks, man. Good stuff. Yeah, feeling good about it.
I mean, everyone's just so excited this morning. I appreciate Caleb Johnson jumping on with us at the last minute. We didn't originally have him scheduled. Then everything went haywire and we had to secure him. So we did. Coming up, Braves start a new series tonight. Who is in? Who's out? We'll preview that next. And we've got a Life of Squid.
And NASCAR trash talk at its best. Woo. And then a response. So you love the drama. Next morning, Shift Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
It's the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, and Dylan. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Before we get to the Braves, and we'll have a Life of Squid coming up as well, have you guys been seeing the Waymo cars getting stuck in
all
intersections?
Over the place.
But getting stuck.
There was one downstairs that couldn't figure out yesterday, the one downstairs that couldn't figure out the valet lane here at Colony Square.
Are those the ones that are like white with the thing on the top?
Yes.
Yep. Oh, I thought that was like a Google car.
No.
I passed one yesterday pulling into the building, yesterday morning.
So that ATL Scoop account has been posting like these cars getting stuck in intersections. I think it was Sunday night. It was stuck right outside the Krog Street Tunnel.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not a good
place.
That's
a bad place. No, I was pulling out yesterday and saw one that couldn't figure out how to pull into the valet, like roundabout downstairs. And I was like, oh, man, that thing is confused. It put its flashers on, then it pulled up 10 feet and put its flashers on again. And it was like, what is this thing? It's a roundabout. It's a valet lane.
So here's what's conflicting about that. Did you oddly feel bad for the Waymo? Because I did.
No.
Like, oh, poor little guy.
No, I don't. I saw iRobot. I don't feel sorry.
Like that
for
movie
him.
WALL-E. Yeah. No, man.
Don't talk about WALL-E. That's a great movie.
Well, I mean, WALL-E. You hated iRobot, but
Eva.
Now all of a sudden,
no, I loved iRobot. Oh, okay. I just hated the robots because they turned evil. I loved WALL-E.
Wow, man.
Although, you like WALL-E. Nice robots.
I don't. I saw a guy at a NASCAR race. It looked like he could have been in the live version of WALL-E, like one of those humans that floated around.
Yeah.
That's a very bizarre way to describe someone.
I hope society never gets to WALL-E because that would be very depressing.
Brother, we are headed there quickly.
I was about to say, I feel like, unfortunately, we might be headed there. Road.
I'm ready to go at that point.
You know what we're going to hit quicker than that is, what's that movie with Idiocracy? Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't seen that
one. It's not... What's the Wilson brother that has the weird nose?
Owen.
Yeah, what's his brother's name?
Luke.
It's with Luke Wilson's in it. And I'm going to tell you something. I absolutely know we are headed there. Like, Idiocracy is on the way. It's a funny movie. You'd like it.
I'll check it out.
It's funny.
I'll check it out.
Yeah,
well,
but no one here has seen Idiocracy. I bet Abe's seen it.
I am thinking about taking my kids to the movie theater for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that this week. There's some kind of Disney movie out that...
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it just came out as like a kid's Disney movie, but like it is a terrible opening weekend. Like nobody went and saw it. I didn't even know it was a thing. Like I literally heard about it because there was so many headlines about how bad its opening weekend was.
What movie? It about a dragon?
Yeah, it's not about a dragon. It's about a kid who is summoned to like the a meeting of leaders from planets.
Yeah.
He's like,
I'll find
it. Wow.
Yeah.
Were you and your kids out on Lilo and Stitch?
No, we're all over Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, you went to go see it?
No, just they like Lilo and Stitch, the original.
Oh, okay.
There's the live action.
I didn't know there's a live action one now.
Oh, really?
Well, I guess that's why the original's been posted all over Disney Plus.
Yeah, the live action one came out, I think it was last weekend.
Elio,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
thinking about going to see Elio with the kids. It looks interesting. My son's ready for the movie theater. My daughter, absolutely not. Like, I'm
too
like,
louder. Or just not
the
attention span.
Yeah. Not there. She's going to be like, okay, 30 minutes in, I'll go get her popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And then another 20 minutes, I'll ask her if she wants candy. And then another 30 minutes after that, maybe we get to the end of the movie without her losing her mind.
Man, just bring a device.
Yeah.
Let her play.
Yeah. I don't. But then I run the risk that he wants the device too.
And
he's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, wait, how did she get an iPad? I got to watch the screen. That's ridiculous.
Well, tonight at Truist Park, we do welcome the Angels to town. So Travis d'Arnaud will be back at Truist Park. On the mound, we have Didier Fuentes. Right now, his record is 0-2, but he's never pitched at home before. Tonight, he will face off against Tyler Anderson. And tomorrow is the return of Jerkson Profar.
Man.
Are you guys feeling about it? Like, how is he going to be received?
You know what? We should be happy he's back. I understand it was what it was, but desperation calls for just open arms for me. Like, I mean, this is desperate times, desperate measures kind of thing. Like, just why are we going to boo the guy? And, like, do we want him to suck? Do we want to, like, be mean to him? No, I need him. We need him to hit. We need him to play the field. We need him to be good. We need him to live up to the contract. So get out of your feelings, because if you want to boo somebody – boo the guy that hasn't walked in almost 2 months. Boo the guy at second base that's having terrible at bats. Boo these people. Don't boo the guy coming back to hope it can help us.
I think it would take a lot more than this for the Truist Park crowd to boo him. And usually that does, especially the guy he's played, two games for the Atlanta Braves or whatever else it is. I don't think he'll be booed at all, but I don't think that it'll be like some rousing applause, standing ovation for like, thank God he's back after being suspended for something he did.
I don't need that either. Just sit there.
Yeah, I don't either. Just clap for him. Hopefully he gets a hit. Hopefully he can spark this lineup. And back to your point about Didier Fuentes, I'm curious to know what tonight is for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like he's kind of at a crossroads as well. I wasn't sure that he would be able to, you know, actually get another start and get another opportunity, but that's where we're at in terms of our farm system and the arms we have available. So, you know, look, if you get a good start from Didier Fuentes tonight and you get a good day at the plate from Yerkson Profar over the next couple of days, I'll feel okay. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I'll feel okay about this team moving forward. But I think we've talked about it time and time again. They have to win both these series. There's no doubt in my mind they have to win both these series, and really all of them throughout the end of the season. But especially when you talk about teams that you know, are middle of the road or less than, it's just the Braves' backs are against the wall.
I think you need to sweep one of them and take two of three from the other. I think five of six in these two upcoming series. You need to make some. So, well, you need to beat teams that are you've played a tough stretch, and you went 7-6. It wasn't, you know, it started out a lot better than it ended, but you still started still did good in that. You need to do better. You need to grow on it. I thought Fuentes would make another start out of necessity, really, and now you kind of hope he starts to kind of figure it out a little bit. Sometimes it takes a few starts. How you going now? I think Michael Harris is the question mark for me. Will he start tonight?
Yeah.
Because it's another lefty. It's your third straight lefty you're faced with Anderson on the mound, and he's not been out of this world. He doesn't have, you know, blow you away stuff, but he can keep you off balance with using multiple pitches. So, how does that work for you? But I don't know.
I'm with you on that. I do think Michael Harris will be back in the lineup tonight. I think there was a 3-day reset, and I think that, but I wouldn't be shocked, I guess, if he got another day off against the left-hander. I do think that you need him to be his best self, or at least a version of it, if you're going to make any run at all. We talk about, you know, a sweep or winning 5 out of 6. You got to find the offense from those four positions somewhat that has been so bad over the last couple of months, man. One of those positions, at least over the weekend, and hopefully that's Yerkson Profar as well, can step up and give you something at the plate. Just good at bats, if nothing else.
That's the thing. I was listening to Carl and Mike, and they were like, well, you know, if people think he's going to come back and be the savior, you know, Ronald wasn't really the savior, and he's played phenomenal. And it's like, no, I don't need him to be the savior. I need competence at the plate in that position. I don't need 320 with like 1,000 OPS, right? No, I need 270 with like 700 OPS, which is better than anything you've got in that position right now.
Yeah.
Just get on base. Don't be timely hitting, getting on base. Do those little things that, you know, put the ball in play. If there's a guy on third and there's one out, put the ball in the air to the outfield. If there's a guy on first and there's nobody out, advance the runner somehow. Just do the little things. Just don't swing and miss. Get on base here, you know. Just do those little things that help you win, and take that spot in left field from being a black hole to maybe being like, you know, you're in the gray, right?
Yeah, it does feel like, and I'm curious, before we get to Life Squid, I want to get your thought on this. It does feel like we've seen the end of the Alex Verdugo tenure when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. It feels like with putting Yerkson Profar on this active roster that maybe he might be the odd man out. Just judging off we've seen the last couple of days with the Fairchild getting his shake and being able to do a couple of different things, it just feels like Verdugo probably headed towards a DFA.
Well, Eli White might be a spot starter, depending on what happens to Mike Harris.
Yeah.
Fairchild then becomes your pinch runner when you have to go for a Zuna or something. So Verdugo is not fast. He's not fielding great. Not a defensive replacement. He's not hitting well.
Yep.
So where does he live?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
To your point.
On somebody else's roster.
Well, you're gonna somewhere probably in another minor league system. I don't know. Baron Burton's W Sauce, the Allen Lager, New Realm Brewing, all good stuff. You ever see something that you love but you know you can't wear?
All the freaking time, my friend.
So,
all the time.
I just got an email from Fanatics. They always email me, and there's this Braves hat. And it's like the old school, like it's like the Dale Murphy colored jerseys.
Seen that one.
And it's got the red, white, and blue inside of the A.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, that is
the rope on
awesome.
The bill.
Yeah. Yep. But that hat will look dumb on me. And I don't really have any of those colors to wear. So I just can't buy it. But I love the hat. Like, if I love the hat, it just, I don't think it's.
Did you see me walk to the NASCAR haulers over the weekend?
Well, I saw you walk like up.
Did you see me buy anything?
No, and I even tried to like. So, Allie, I wasn't doing it to be mean, but I was like, "Hey, maybe that. Just try it on. Maybe it'll fit you." No, it won't work.
Yeah, I was gonna say I live this every single day of my life. I'm like, oh, it looks. Oh, that's never gonna fit me.
But
it's
see,
all right.
I do too. It's just the alternate version. Like, I know that won't fit me because it'll make me look like, you know, a little person, or maybe my head even smaller than it already is. Or like, I'm just like, that won't, or, you know, like, there's just things that don't fit me because I'm short. And there's things that don't fit you because you're tall.
Yep.
Fair enough, have a big head. I mean, we live in the same world. It's just the different ends of it.
Yeah, you're just a lot more comfortable in plane flights than I am. That's all.
Oh, I am. I really am. Or in the back seat. How about, hey, dude, I got to tell you this real quick. We went to Walmart run, Allie, right after the show.
Uh-huh.
You took off, and we made a Walmart run. We sat there for a minute, like, all right, we got to go get some more stuff. Sunday, we went to go to the clubhouse to eat, and I'm trying to put the car seat in. And I'm like, why is this seat so far back? Why won't the car seat fit in? And then I go,
yeah.
And Amy looks and I go,
oh yeah.
Mike sat here. And so like,
sorry for partying, man.
So pork chop's sitting, like her car seat's not in, and it's just kind of resting. And as I start going up, I hear clunk.
Yep.
And so I just clicked in.
Sorry, man. Need a little room. Sorry, pork chop.
Anyway, this is funny because we put Doug, you saw down there, we put Doug in the back, and Mike obviously got in the front. All right. Speaking of NASCAR, we talked about the bracket a lot, the NASCAR playoff bracket.
Yep.
And we had now friend of the show, Ty Dillon, was on with us Friday.
So good. A lot of fun.
And he talked about, you know, being excited for the bracket, everything else. Well, he ended up upsetting Denny Hamlin because of the big wreck that took Hamlin out. And Ty Dillon was actually in front of Denny before the wreck. So that's why he missed some of it. But he had some words for Denny Hamlin fans, taking a page out of Denny's book.
All you Denny fans out there, I just knocked your favorite driver out.
Ty Dillon.
Whoa.
I love that.
Funny, right?
Yeah.
He's talking trash.
And just so people know, Denny usually wins the race. When Denny wins the race, a couple of times he has said, oh, people will boo Denny. And he goes, I just beat your favorite driver. And like, if you're like that's my funny. Wife, she looks at it and goes, who's he talking about? I'm like, literally everybody. Because he just won the race. He just beat everybody.
I think it started a couple years ago, maybe at Bristol. And he was just, I mean, it was like Bristol is like a football stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
which is where the Braves are playing very soon.
And it is just raining booze. And that's when he dropped that. So Denny went on his podcast, Detrimental Actions, I believe is the name of it, and does it every Monday, sometimes Tuesday, but normally Mondays. And they're like, dude, what do you think? What do you think? And I have a lot of respect for his answer.
Ty Dillon, give him his moment, people. He beat me. He was ahead of me the whole fucking race. He texted me. He was like, hey, I was just playing around. I'm like, bro, I loved it.
Yeah. I love that about Denny. I love the fact that he does that podcast. And after meeting Ty Dillon on Friday as he comes in the Campers Inn RV that we had at Echo Park Speedway, I'm rooting for him in the bracket. Like, nice. I'm like, dude, go out and get yours. This is a 16-v-1 in the NCAA tournament. Ty Dillon was the last driver in the bracket. He was ranked 32nd. Denny Hamlin was one. It was a massive upset.
My driver got knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
The first wreck, Ryan Blaney. Then my driver in our pool that we had, which was, you know, we drew numbers, Ross Chastain, got knocked out in the second wreck. And I straight up said, where's the 10 car at? And I was like, that's my driver tonight. I'm pulling for him all night because I want him to advance. I want him to do well and to win because I like the dude. I had a lot of respect for the way he handles his love for the sport. So I hope he wins the bracket too.
We're rooting for him. Well, we got to get out of here. Thanks for spending your morning with us. Steak and Sandra are ready to pop in here. I do need to ask Sandra where she shops. She always looks amazing. Great clothes. Great wardrobe on that woman. For Mike, Bo, Dillon, myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
stay cool, Atlanta.
Oh.